Todd. Well, this is a special time, and I love this part when we are able to put it within our services, and that is what we call our Living Nativity, and it's made up of some of the young people in our church, some adults, children's ministry, youth ministry, dancers and everything, but really to portray and to bring to a visual part the Nativity and make it to be a living experience for you as well. So let's give them a welcome as they get ready to come and do this.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
Little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, send to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
Was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
With the end. the Prince of Peace, the King. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of a dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt His word. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Christ was born.
Thank you today, for it is the day you have made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. And so, Father, today we pray that as we celebrate our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but at His birth, as we celebrate today the birthday, but yet in fact the incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Father God, that you would just touch every heart and every need and every life in each one here today, and whatever may be going on in their life, Father, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted. We pray for those who are going through difficult times, and we hold them before you today. And especially so, we hold Maria before you, and we pray, God, for your divine touch upon her life. So, God, bless this time as we continue our worship and praise, as we give unto you our hearts and our lives. We thank you for it, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And church, if you agree, say amen and amen. You may be seated. And as we are, you can just lean over the person next to you and say, cheer up, God loves you. And so it's a blessing to be here with you today to celebrate on Christmas Day 2016. And I'm going to be sharing this morning out of the scriptures John's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 6 through 13, sharing on the light of the world. If you'll turn there with me this morning, and as we get ready, I'm going to actually begin reading at verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 13 this morning. And judging by the last service this morning, I wasn't able to complete this entire teaching, but that's okay. We'll get enough of it in to understand what we want to speak on this morning. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In fact, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Father God, this morning we pray that you would bring your word a living to our lives and our hearts and our souls. God, that you would bring to us that revelation. So give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that your word reveals today for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Church, if you agree, once again, say amen. It's a blessing to be here with you today, and there's just a couple of things that I need to make announcement-wise that actually started last night at our Christmas Eve celebration. These are very important times today, and this year in particular. As a matter of fact, Peter and Liz aren't here today. They were here with us last night, but they're going to be celebrating their anniversary next week on January 1st. Now, I can't tell you where they're going to be, but it's an island not far from here. But anyhow, I didn't say that, but they are going to be celebrating their wedding anniversary. They were married on New Year's Eve, so but they're always here to just serve and to just bless all of us in so many ways, and so I needed to mention that. So that's there. And it's not so rare, because it happens yearly with them. But last night was a very rare occasion when the two Eves came together. And what am I speaking of? Christmas Eve, first, you know that one, but also Hanukkah. And last night was the first Eve of Hanukkah this year, which is extremely rare when we have the two Eves coincide together in our world. Because you see, the Jews go by a calendar that's based on the moon. And we go by the Gregorian calendar, which is quite different from that one. And so the two Eves merging together, and so you had people that were Jewish beginning their celebration of Hanukkah last night, lighting their first candle of their eighth candle labra that they light, not the same as the menorah, for they have eight candles and then a servant candle off on the front of it to light the other candles, but yet a candelabra indeed. And so the two Eves coming together. The last time that happened was in 1978. That was approximately 38 years ago, and I want to tell you that last night was actually my last opportunity, I believe, in this lifetime to celebrate that. If it's another 38 to 40 years from now, I don't think I will be doing that Christmas Eve service. In fact, we'll let that one go. But that is very rare, and that was last night. But tonight, today... Well, tonight it'll happen with the Jews, but today is very important too, because today, Christmas Day, falls on December 25th, correct? Amen, right? Okay, but Hanukkah this year, because of this exception, Hanukkah actually follows to begin on the 25th of the Hebrew month Kislev, which is also today. So to have the two 25ths at the same time is also rare. That happens really approximately, some say, close to 15 years apart. And so it's very unusual. But Christmas, because Hanukkah is an eight-day celebration, Hanukkah does fall quite often through Christmas. So Christmas, I should say, falls in that time of that eight-day period more often. And that happens approximately every 6 to 7 years. And so it's really a unique time. And yet both of these come together, and when we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the first days it was celebrated, and they did coincide together because they were brought together in the third century to be celebrated on the 25th. So the Hebrew month, which goes according to their own calendar and direction. But then, of course, our Christian time, the Gregorian calendar, was started later on, and it didn't want the two to be actually put together at the same time for various reasons, which I'm not going to go into at this time and this morning. But we've got a very limited time, but I want to speak to you on the light of the world. And as we do so, you know, we think about Christmas and everything that takes place. But there were two friends. They had grown up together in school, a true story. Tom and Joe were high school buddies. But when they grew up, Joe had left town to find his fortune out there in the world, and he became a very successful salesman, but he never married. And one day he returned to his hometown, and he met his old school buddy, Tom. And as they got together in a local restaurant, exchanging stories and how their lives had changed over the years, and Tom explained that he too had been successful, but he had married and he also has three children. And so Tom responded, and he goes, "Wow, that's amazing." He says, I just would like to be a part of that and come over to your home, and please let me come in." So Tom told him, he says, "Okay, tell you what, here's where I live. I live in a condo at 3221 High Street. You just drive around back to the parking lot. You come up to the main door. You kick it open with your foot. When you get to the elevator, you push the button with your left elbow and come up to the second story. That's where my apartment is, and you'll see my family." He goes, "That's great," Joe said, "but I'm a little puzzled. Why would I have to kick the door open with my foot and push the elevator button with my elbow?" Tom looked astounded. He says, "Because you're not coming empty-handed, are you?" And so we often think of Christmas not according to what it really is, but it's about the gifts in most part. And of course, sometimes we really miss out on it, and the gifts sometimes take the place in our life of the meaningless activity. No, not quite meaningless. We think it's very meaningful, and it is in some cases, but we miss the most important part, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a sign at a church. You know how churches put signs out there? We don't even have a sign for our church at all, unfortunately. And it usually said at this particular sign, says, "Merry Christmas," and I like to do this every year, "to our Christian friends, and Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends, and to our atheist friends, good luck," because that's all they really have. And yet we have in God a relationship. And of course, our Savior being born is what we celebrate. But the word seemed to be in retail this year that they needed to cut prices to get people shopping. Of course, they started that really early this year, didn't they? I mean, pushing people. But I have to tell you something. American men are under incredible stress during that time. So that puts them under more stress. What do I mean? Well, in an article written by British psychologist David Lewis, reported that shopping is hazardous to men's health. You go, really? He tested actually volunteers from the ages of 22 to 79 by sending them out at Christmas shopping. He recorded their blood pressure rates, which you would actually not understand, but it actually has the same rating as what would be a fighter pilot going into combat. And so it might seem like that when they go to the stores, too, when you try and get that one item that you think is the right one. But according to that same test, only 1 in 4 women showed any significant signs of stress from shopping. I wonder why. In fact, it's just one of the gender differences in America today. But imagine this. The question has been posed, what would have happened then if there had been 3 wise women instead of 3 wise men? The answer? They would have asked directions immediately, the women would, upon commencing their trip, which would have allowed them to arrive on time. And they would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought cute little outfits for baby Jesus could have worn on his first day. But yet, now we put men into the picture, it's a whole different story. Amen? But yet, this Christmas morning, I want to focus on this teaching to be the light of the world. The Apostle John here, speaking of the very fact that he was, and of course in this case, given to us the instruction of the one who was sent from God, John, who was born. He wasn't the light, but yet he came to bear witness of the light. And you know, it's true in our life as well. We as believers, we're not that light directly, but we're to bear witness of that light. And as bearing witness of that light is to shine in our life and outward from our life. And you know, when you think about it, and I want to share these three ideas this morning. First of all, the humbleness to witness the light is something that John possessed, but it's something that we all should possess. But secondly, the dedication to the witness of the light. That is something we should all experience and should be a part of. But the power of the light itself. And so this morning, beginning with the first part, I want to just remind you, in the Bible, remember at the very beginning, it was darkness everywhere. Can you imagine a world where we didn't have lights? When the electricity goes off where I live, it's just kind of a panic thing in people's lives. You know, you see flashlights around and you wonder what's going on. And of course, you look out first of all to see if your neighbor's lights are out because you go, oh, great, I did pay the Edison bill. And you think maybe I just didn't get that bill done in time. But you find out quickly, they'll shut it off. And yet when you see everybody's light out, you go, okay, we're all right. We paid the bill. Let's find a candle or let's find a flashlight. But you know, the Bible says that it was dark at the beginning, and there was darkness all over. I can't imagine to live in a world in total darkness. That would be very depressing. But then the Bible says in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, and it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God brought light into the world, but that was all part of something that would be greater in the future, where he would bring the greatness of the light, and that light would be Jesus Christ. Jesus said in one of his great I Am statements, I am the light of the world, and he truly is. And when he comes into our life, he takes away the darkness, and he brings light into our life. But think about that. You know, we're pretty good here in California. We know how to decorate. We get lights up everywhere. I've been a good husband this year because for the first time, than I can ever remember, I decided to get lights out on the front of my house 2 weeks before I normally do. And of course, on Christmas Eve, when I'm trying to put the lights out there, no, I'm only kidding. But yet, I got it out early, and my wife said, thank you. And then I thought, she's going to make me do the backyard, too. I said, you know, I did the front. Do I have to do the back? She goes, no, you don't have to do the back. And I went, great, I got off scot-free this year. But I want to speak, first of all, on this very reality of the witness of the light, the power of the promise. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, notice what he says here. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And that is the essence of what we attempt to do by that very witness of the light. And it says, he was not the light, though, but sent to bear witness of that light, as we are also to bear witness of that light. And so as I think about this morning, to understand that first he says that we know in the very first verses that I read that Jesus is eternally God. It says, in the beginning was the Word, as John presents his gospel, first and foremost. Secondly, Jesus is equally God, for it says the Word was God. And then thirdly, Jesus is essentially God. It says through him all things were made. So the beginning of John's story, it's at a very dark time of Israel. Israel had been subjected to nearly 400 years of darkness, so to speak, spiritually. And yet as that time went on from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and then the light breaks out. So Israel was facing a very dark time. They had not heard from God. The prophets had not spoken. And so when you take the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi, and then you think 400 years before the birth of Jesus, but it was all spoken of in the Old Testament. In fact, that's where we get all of the significant understandings that the light was going to come, but yet God wanted them to experience the darkness first. I think that you sometimes experience darkness, and then you really want to experience light. I've had those experiences in my life. I'm telling you what, I needed the light in the darkness of my life, but thanks be to God, God shined it for me. But since Malachi, the promise of Elijah who would come and who would bring forth this work of God. And so Jews today celebrate not at Hanukkah, but they celebrate at Passover and are always looking for Elijah to come because they're still waiting for the Messiah. But the reality is he has come. And yet to you and I, he has been revealed and the light's in us. So we're to be that example of the light. So when you think about it, the power of this promise, it's amazing, but it came through a humble heart. And that's number one, the humility of our heart to let God in to let him into our life. He was a representative of God's light. The Jews have a saying, it's called near to mud, which actually means eternal light. And so God has always provided a witness. During those 400 silent years from Malachi to John the Baptist, it seemed that God finished with the choices of man, but he wasn't. He was planning that they would have enough of the darkness where they would finally reach out for the light. And I think that there's been a real peace, even in the transition that we see today, of the transition of power, of government, and a new peace. In fact, I sense, and I actually saw it on the news, that people are saying Merry Christmas in a freer expression. Why is that? Because I believe they've seen something. They see a freedom there. They want to express themselves. But yet I saw it on two little newscasts, and I was quite amazed by it. But Jesus was and is that true light. And yet that light was to shine, but the scriptures are all through the scripture, even in the New Testament, talking about this light that would shine. We're called to be a light of the world because Jesus is a light of the world. But we're called to follow in that. In fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, and chapter 9, verse 5, we're told that Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. And in John 8, 12, it says, but we will have the light of life. And so we have that light. And we need to let that light shine, but it shines from within. But we're commanded to cast off the works of darkness then and to put on that armor of light. Why? Because we're in a spiritual warfare. So the birth of Jesus brings to us the reality of the light of the world, and it comes through humility in our own life. Turn in your Bibles with me to Micah. It's right there in some of the small Old Testament areas just before Malachi. You will see the little book of Micah. And Micah tells us also concerning this humility that was to be understood. And it's considered to be one of the minor prophets in Micah. And in Micah, we see something that is quite significant. And yet, if I can find it myself, oh, here we go. Okay, Micah. And in Micah chapter 5, we learn something because God was speaking through this prophet to tell Israel that darkness is there because they haven't opened up truly to be honest with God. And that humility comes when we're truly honest with God. You see, God sees our heart. He knows everything. And forget that Christmas carol that says Santa Claus is coming, and he watches you at night, and he knows whether you're good or bad, and you better look out. Forget that song, okay? Because God is watching, and he does know. And he does know what we need. And he's telling Israel, you have failed. They were lying to themselves, and they were lying to God. So he uses the prophet Micah, and he tells him, though, and it's quite significant when you think of humility, in chapter 5 of Micah, verse 2, he says, but you, Bethlehem of Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting. And you say, what does that mean? Well, I got to tell you quickly, because first of all, Bethlehem of Ephratah, this was one of the areas that was considered more lowly. It was not a place where you would want to say, hey, I want to go vacation there. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to live. No, you wouldn't, because this was one of the insignificant areas. It wasn't to the northern tribes of Israel that the Savior was going to be born. It wasn't to the southern tribes of Israel the Savior was going to be born, but it was going to be born in a very lowly, humble place. And so is Christ revealed in our life. In that holy, humble place. And yet, I think of that, how the Lord would come. You'd think he would come in a different way, but he came to reveal himself to you and I in a very humble, truly humble place, in a truly humble way. But the Bible reads, if you read through the Gospels, it says, of course, that he was born in what is called in the Greek a kataluma. And a kataluma would be like this outside guest house in somebody's house. We call it the inn, but it wasn't an inn like you check into the Hilton Hotel. It was not that at all, but it was a place where often the guests would stay, but it was filled. There was no room there. So Jesus was born out in the area of the Cataluma, which also had a place where the animals would be kept, and that was the place of him. But later on, when you read in the Gospel of Matthew, it says when the three wise men came that he was in a house, and you got to go study that one on your own. I'm not going to tell you. And so you go, what's the difference? Well, look it up in the Greek. It's there very plainly. And yet when you say, well, I thought the wise men were there when he was born. Actually, no. Actually, it was somewhere under 2 years later. In fact, when Herod ordered the death of everybody that could be considered to be the Messiah, he ordered the death of children 2 years and under because it was later on when the wise men finally arrived. But yet we got to put them all together. It fits our actual area that we've so gotten used to in our nativity scenes. But a humble heart. Humility also ties us to the place where he was born. He was born in this place, not of significance, but he was born in a place of little significance. But look with me at the end of this chapter. Look with me at Micah, and look at the area of what we see in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And it says here in verse 8, so God, working through the prophet, is trying to show them how they can be truly in the right place with God and get to the place where they would fully receive the Messiah. And he says in verse 8, he has shown you, O man, not old man, okay, get that right. O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? See, they thought God, they just thought they were supposed to just give all their stuff to God. They thought, if I do that, then God will leave me alone. If I just do that. If I do all of these rituals, then God will be happy. But God is telling them, no, I'm not happy. I want your heart. And that heart is a heart of humility. So he says, what does the Lord require of you? Three things. To do justly. To treat people in a just manner, in a just way, to care about them, not because of their color, not because of their language, or not because of their dialect, but because they're people that belong to God. I worked in Israel some time back with a group, a special group that was brought from the United States to learn about terrorism. And this group I was with, they took us, we got to visit morgues, okay? We didn't visit other places, but we were learning about terrorism. And one of the things we worked with, a group of people that when a bomb goes off there and there's blood, even from the bomber themselves, they collect all of that. They clean it. They even remove the pavement stones, and they're sacred because there's blood on them. And the way the Jews look at them from that group is, that blood, no matter who it came from, is still sacred to God. So they kept that, and I got to see and experience some of that when I was there. And yet the blood of God is in our hearts, it's in our veins, and yet no matter what today, God cares about you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, whosoever would believe in him, should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That blood is life. And even the blood of unborn children is life. And praise be to God, hopefully we'll see some changes in the future concerning that in our world. But in Micah, he says to be just and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. And yet when we tie that in to the idea of Hanukkah, and Hanukkah brings to us the next area, it's not just the humility, but it's also we learn about the humbleness, but we learn about dedication. And I want to close with this part this morning because of time. When actually Hanukkah is a celebration that goes back, not to the original temple, but it goes to that temple that was desecrated by the evil that took place in the world at that time. And the Jews under the Maccabees went in and rescued it, you might say, and they rededicated it. So Hanukkah to the Jews means rededication. And that's exactly what the Hebrew word means. What does it mean? Well, they dedicated the temple to start with, but now they needed to rededicate it. And so they have eight candles. Why? Because the first candle was lit last night, and there's 8 days. When you get to the fourth day, the Jews, as a part of Hanukkah, give actually money. And they give money to the children and so on. So this Wednesday night, get ready. No, I'm only kidding. So that'll be the fourth day of Hanukkah. No, I'm only teasing. And so, but they do. They actually, on the fourth day, they do that. But the reality is God wants our hearts more than our money. But he says, where your heart is, there will be your treasure. So when we give to God, we should give out of the treasure of our heart. We love God, amen? And so the reality is that all that's there? No, it's dedication of your life. And I want to close with this story. In the Talmud, there are provisions for the lighting secretly in times of persecution, but the Jews have a commitment. And I was reading a story of a person who actually survived at Auschwitz. And the late Rabbi Hugo Grin was a child in Auschwitz. And the holiday of Hanukkah came, and after fashioning a makeshift menorah, his father melted the precious margarine that was given to them to eat as a ration to light a wick for their first night of Hanukkah. The young Hugo was outraged, and he protested to his dad. He says, how could he use the food that sustain us and keep us alive with all this horror going on? And just to observe that holiday, if that's all it's for. Many years later, this young man grew up, and the rabbi Grin, who became a rabbi later in his life, At that moment, he said, his father spoke those words he never forgot. His father said, my child, we can live 3 days without water. We can know that. You can live 3 days or 3 weeks without food, but you cannot live 3 minutes without hope. And he says, my son, hope is why we lit that menorah. So the Jews today light that first candle because of rededication. And we lit candles last night, but we light our own candle. The Bible says in Proverbs that our soul is the candle of the Lord. Don't have time to get into that today. I'll talk about that perhaps next week. But here's what he said in the end. A choice of rededication. And he said, no matter how many times you have done it before, once again, when you face the darkness, light a candle. And maybe that candle needs to be lit in your heart today as you rededicate your life to the Lord. Let it be your soul and your spirit that says, God, I truly will not only be humble, but I will also come to a place of dedicating my life. And I'm out of time. You're going to have to get the rest of this starting next week. Please stand. Father God, I pray today that we could truly be a people, Lord, who are humble of spirit and in heart, allowing you to work in our life. But we can truly be a people, Lord, who dedicate our life to follow you and to allow that light to shine and bear witness that you're alive in our life, and that we could truly be a people who live with the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, bless your people today on Christmas 2016 for your glory. Let their Christmas day be a day of celebration for what you have done and what you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Church, if you agree, say amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and Merry Christmas to you all.